If I can have your attention, please, we will go ahead and get started with our program for this morning. I want to welcome all of you to another meeting of the First Friday Breakfast Club, an association of gay and bisexual men and the largest private breakfast club in the state of Iowa, and we have been that for over 20 years. And in that time, we have given over $250,000 in scholarships to high school students, whatever gender or sexual orientation, who have done significant things to reduce homophobia in their school and community. We have identified some remarkable people who have gone on, and we've decided that by now, after 20 years of graduation, they may be a source of additional funds for our scholarship program. And so we're going to start reaching out to our former graduates and inviting them to contribute. The real strength of that scholarship program, of course, is of not only to recognize these young people and their courage and the significant things that they have done, but more importantly, to purchase us a ticket to their high school graduation ceremonies, where we send representatives of this group to present in front of an audience that includes people who think they have never seen a real live gay person before. And the anecdotes that have come back from those experiences have been heartwarming, including standing ovations in Podunk Center, Iowa, that kind of thing. It's been outstanding. It is our tradition, in addition to welcoming you, to have those of you who are here for the first time introduce yourself. It's not mandatory, but if there are those who are here for the first time, and I know there are, if you would like to stand up and give us your name, now would be the time. Anyone? Here we go.
My name is Brian Chesselson.
Very good. Brian, welcome. See how painless that is? All right, well, I know there are others who are here for the first time, and so I will just encourage those who are regulars to look around and identify some unfamiliar faces and make sure they feel welcome and are encouraged to come back again. There are a number of announcements that I want to bring to your attention. First, I want to thank Scott Cuccio for coordinating the book exchange. And the books this time are back on a table here in the corner. There are some interesting books there. And our program is to allow people to check out books, no checkout system in terms of a return. If it never comes back, it never comes back. But if there's a book there that interests you, you're welcome to borrow it and bring it back whenever. If you have books that might be of interest and that you're not going to be needing, bring them and put them in the exchange for others to enjoy. I encourage you to check out our website, particularly to check out our website if you miss a meeting and want to hear the speaker, because an audio recording of the speaker's remarks and presentation is on that website. In addition, if you want to hear the presentation again, even though you already had heard it here, you're able to do so there. On each of the tables, there is a new member identification form. If you look around the room and you see that there is someone not here who you think would be interested in the Breakfast Club, give us their contact information and we will extend a personal invitation to them to participate in FFBC. Also, you can use the same form to update your email address, and you will know whether you need to update your email address or not by whether or not you received an RSVP reminder from me about this meeting. If you didn't receive one, you need to give me an updated email address so that in the future you can receive those reminders from me about our meetings. That way we can get a better head count on the number of people that are going to be here, and we can make sure that we have plenty of seats, plenty of food, and don't have over reservation and pay for extra reservations that we didn't need. So if you have not received an email reminder from me about this meeting, I don't have a current email address for you, and you need to put that information on that form and get it to me. Thank you very much. Next, our board meeting is next Wednesday, May the 10th. It will be at Byron Huff's home. Byron's sitting right over here. So if there are those of you that are members that would like to attend the meeting, you're certainly welcome to. Just touch base with Byron and he can give you easy to follow directions to get to his home. The meeting is at 6:15 on next Wednesday. Next, our newsletter. Our newsletter copy deadline will be a week from next Monday, which is May the 15th. So those of you who are regular contributors, great, you have that information. Any of you who would like to write a piece, welcome to do so, and we'll get it in great shape and make you look really good and put your material in our newsletter on whatever topic is of interest to you. It's likely to be of interest to others in our group. Then Rick Miller has a couple of announcements he needs to address. Rick.
I'd just like to let everybody know that this year the Chris Writing Breakfast Club has joined the Pride Center to create a program called Meals for the Heartland, which is a service project directed toward a worldwide commitment to food for all. And we have Tim Schreck, who's given a very generous amount of money to help raise $4,000 needed to make this happen. But we're also looking for volunteers, and this is a great opportunity for many of you to interact with the community on whole. So the Pride Center up here on the top of the hill at the Nichols Center, we'll be doing this on the weekend of Pride, but it's on Friday. And it's from 10 in the morning until 6 at night. It only involves an hour or two of your time. And if you could come in and help us put together the packets to make the world a less hungry place, it would be very important to do. So I hope that some of you will help sign up. If you'll sign up back here, I'll call you and give you a reminder in case you need it. Yes?
If none of you have done this, it is a total gas the way they have the package assembly teams together. It is a lot of fun. Yeah, you'll have a great time. And especially if they've got some good tunes on, you can sort of walk out. It's great. I highly encourage it.
Anyway, that's the first opportunity, and I hope that many of you can participate. The second one is our annual Pride Tent at the Pride events on Saturday and Sunday. We'll need people to sit at the tent and interact with the community. So hoping some of you will step forward to do that. It's not just the board that should be asked to do that. Other people can come and join us and help us out too. Thank you so much for your support.
That's great. So two opportunities. You can sign up for those in the foyer for the June 9th event as well as the Pride weekend on the 10th and 11th. I was unsupervised for just a couple of seconds, and so I signed us up. All right. Let's see. Oh, then there are a number of other things upcoming. First, I'll call on Taylor Vanderkoel to make an announcement. Taylor.
On Thursday, May 18th, Senator McCoy is going to have a fundraiser at the Bon Voyage party for Governor Brand's dad.
Yes.
Right now, he's going through confirmation hearings in U.S. Capacity of Japan. So we're sending him a kickoff fundraiser. All the money is going to Matt McCoy. So. Sponsorship levels, $25, $50, $100 for those who attend, $250 to be a champion. We're not going to turn away anyone, so if you like, there's going to be free drink tickets and appetizers. Mike Draper is going to be one of the guest speakers, and so he's also going to help us with some creative ideas. So you guys talked to him a few months ago, he's hilarious. So we'll bring some really great ideas to the event. We're needing volunteers as well, so we don't know how big this is going to be. Right now we have 900 people interested on our Facebook event, so that could mean 100 or 200 people show up. So if you're interested in volunteering for this event or a couple other things that we're going to be doing this summer and this fall, get with me, your name, phone number, and email address. Once again, it's Thursday, May
18th. Great. Thank you very much. Scott and I aren't going to be able to be there because we're still out of town, but you can put us out down as a host. See what happens when you hand me a microphone. There's no telling what I might say. Okay. So we support your efforts, Matthew. Then there are a number of things that will offer you an opportunity for further interactions with gay men, and that is the Primetimers of Central Iowa. And they have more activities than you're going to be able to keep up with. It's remarkable. For example, on May the 10th, they're having cocktails at Lime Lounge. On the 12th, they're doing dominoes. On the 15th, they're doing a breakfast get-together. On the 16th, they're doing a walk and talk at Gray's Lake. On the 18th, they're doing an evening coffee get-together. They're doing a potluck on May the 21st, and they're doing a movie night on the 27th of May. And that's not all of the issues that they have going and the events that they are sponsoring. So if you have an interest, they are going to be addressing it in a wide variety of activities, and I encourage you to get online and find out about those activities. And with that, I will turn to Scott Cugnio again to introduce our speaker for this morning. Scott.
What do I volunteer us for now? You've already pretty much got us covered. Good morning, everyone. Bob Harper is a scout executive, equivalent to CEO, for Mid-Iowa Council, Boy Scouts of America. In this position, Bob is responsible for the successful execution of all facets of scouting's mission within a 27-county territory in central and southern Iowa, especially in serving 20,000 volunteer leaders and youth members. Some of those duties include recruiting, training, supporting thousands of volunteers, leading a staff of 18 full-time and 90 summer employees, managing nearly a $3 million annual operating budget, and operating three camps and 600 acres of wilderness preserve. A member of a military family, Bob was born in the United Kingdom and has resided in Louisiana, Nebraska, Massachusetts, New Jersey, Kentucky, Michigan, and Indiana. Entering Cub Scouts at age 8, Bob's been part of scouting since including 39 years of professional service. Bob's a graduate of Murray State University in Murray, Kentucky, where he met his wife, Pam. When not engaged in scouting, Bob enjoys most outdoor sports and pursuing the activities of his three children and six grandchildren.
Thank you. Thank you, Scott. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for being here this morning. I get to speak to a lot of groups, PTAs and Rotary Clubs and town councils sometimes and church groups. I really count it a genuine privilege to be invited to speak with you this morning. I'm deeply appreciative of this opportunity. I hope briefer comments are better than longer comments. Now, authored by an individual by the name of Robert Fulghum, a little book entitled All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten, you may recall it, was published in 1988 and dominated the bestseller list for years. And it's a wonderful list of life's simplest admonitions, the ones we all learned as young children. And a few are, share everything, play fair, say you're sorry when you hurt someone. Flush. And my favorite, take a nap every afternoon. Now in scouting, we have our own simple list of admonitions. We call it the Scout Law. Trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. For me, the Scout Law is much like Fulghum's fun list. And let me paraphrase his description of that list. He said, everything you need to know is there somewhere. The golden rule and love and basic sanitation. Take any one of those items and extrapolate it into sophisticated adult terms and apply it to your family life or to your work or to your government or to your world, and it holds true and clear and firm. Now, whether you know it or not, I believe that you are putting into practice this today. And I want to affirm this, and I want to celebrate this with you. The 10th point of the Scout Law describes you, brave. How brave you have been in helping society to be more accepting, more tolerant, and more inclusive. Now, Brave and the other 11 laws are fundamental to the scouting movement, and they've been unchanged since our founding 106 years ago. And think about it. Why should they change? Who doesn't desire their neighbor to be friendly, or their employer to be kind, or their friends to be trustworthy? The Scout Law has been bedrock to the largest and arguably most impactful youth organization in history. After more than a century, we've been woven into the very fabric of our nation. We've become a part of our American tapestry because millions of Americans have made us so. Now, I'll confess to you, the Boy Scouts for me is something of a paradox. It's both timeless and ever-changing. The aims of scouting are timeless, they're constant, but the methods have changed. Now, I can easily imagine my dad, who was my scoutmaster, and myself, and my son, I was his scoutmaster, through some kind of time machine, all being the same age and all going camping together. We would find that scouting has taught us all the same basic things: how to take care of ourselves, how good food tastes at the end of the day on the trail, how to appreciate and preserve what God has provided, how to demonstrate our love of country and family and friends, and how to do the very best we can at whatever it is that we choose to do. We'd read together from the Scout Handbook through 12 editions and millions of copies. It is, after the Bible, the second most widely read book in America. In every handbook, no matter how old, we would find what we still think of as the spirit of scouting, plus some old familiar instructions on how to tie a bowline, pitch a tent, make a bandage, and the motto, still a pretty good motto, be prepared. I'm sure if I ask many of you, you could recite some of what you read in your scout handbook. And much of what scouting was when I was a youth and when many of you were scouts remains. But indeed, much has changed. We no longer require a first-class scout to demonstrate his skill in stopping a runaway horse. Morse code and semaphore were skills that I had to learn, have been replaced by cell phones. And today, scouts work on robotics and game design and much more. But there are new challenges as well. Those old three R's of reading, writing, and arithmetic have been replaced by recognize, resist, and report as we train today's generation of boys to be on guard against abuse. Now, our evolution has not always been easy. In the 1940s, when scouting officially became racially integrated, there was pushback. And in 1983, I was working for the Boy Scouts when this happened, women were able to become scoutmasters. And there was pushback. And when the scouting family finally moved to formally welcoming gay and transgendered members, well, there's been pushback. And it's no surprise the changes that have been worked out by society, and indeed are still being worked out, have been reflected in scouting as well. Our membership, youth and adults, is merely a mirror of the community at large. Now, some have said these recent membership changes were motivated by a need for money. Well, actually, since these changes, we have lost, not gained, funding. And those funds have been replaced, by and large, by hard work, but no new contributions have resulted. But sometimes there are expenses to doing the right thing. And some have said the change in BSA membership standards was because of a declining scout participation. It's true. Membership nationally has been on a decline. But this is also true for membership of almost every other youth-serving organization. Now, locally, here in central Iowa, we've bucked this trend, and we've experienced modest membership growth for 10 years now. However, there's not been a measurable uptick in membership nationally. In fact, there's been a tangible loss in membership. but sometimes there are expenses in doing the right thing. So what brought about this change in our membership standards that we've heard so much about? It was not money, it was not recruitment, it was us. Just as we have observed in church families, and perhaps in your family, so it was in the scouting family that change came about. It was not some remote national board of directors. It was the local volunteers, the men and women nationwide who work with youth every day, and the full-time staff who set things right. So you see, I'm for kids. Now, to set this all within a context of today, perhaps in a business sense, as you heard, I'm scout executive of one of 260 local Boy Scout councils. I answer to and work through a volunteer board of directors. I'm responsible for delivering the scouting experience to 20,000 members in what is essentially the middle third of the state of Iowa. Now, all of this is done through collaboration with existing community partners that actually sponsor our Cub Scout packs and Boy Scout troops. It's the packs and the troops. Those are the kids, and that's where I am. I'm for kids. In a business sense, I am CEO of a significant consumer-based organization incorporated in our state. Those 345 Scout units can be described as franchisees. And I have 5,000 staff at work, except we call them volunteers. I'm responsible for raising our entire $2.8 million budget for its proper expenditure and accounting, and I oversee four properties, 600 acres of outdoor adventure. Every dollar and every acre is for kids. We are not naive. Change can be hard, and many still disagree with the changes that have been made. But let me clearly state for you, and I'm sorry if I get a little passionate here, I've stated this for Mid-Iowa Council, I've stated it for the media, and whoever else has called me or written to me and emailed me who needs or wants to know, I'm for kids. I'm for kids, period. It's no matter your orientation or your religion or your nationality or your race or your ability to pay, or whether you have a physical or mental challenge, if you and your kids want to be scouts, you are welcome in our ranks. It is my opinion, both personally and professionally, that scouting and organizations like ours are needed today more than ever before. I believe our future is a bright one. And we are preparing the next generation of leaders and parents and neighbors. And I promise that I will do my best to help them to be as brave as you are. So let me close with a quote from one of my favorites, the American humorist Will Rogers. He famously said, "The only thing wrong with Boy Scouts, there aren't enough of them." Thank you. I think there's plenty of time, Jonathan, for some questions, and I'll try to have some answers.
And Bob, of course, the whole process of the Scouts becoming inclusive of gay members unfolded in front of the national media, so we all watched that. My question is...
And it was always accurate.
Yeah. I don't think there was any false news in there. But.
No, I didn't say that.
I don't think it existed.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. No fake news then.
My question is, how much local autonomy do different councils around the country have about honoring that inclusion? Or is that a national decision?
No, it's a national decision. It's actually very little. Mid-Iowa Council receives what we call a charter from the national organization to conduct the scouting program in a defined territory. And it's incumbent on us to follow the rules and regulations, the policies, and all that kind of stuff. And that's pretty broad, but it's pretty firm. Now, within that, we design lots of our own programming and how we do things and how we want to affect change. And like I perhaps didn't state clearly enough, you know, this change in the things all came out of local efforts. You know, where there was us who was saying, we've got to move forward. And and clearly, not everybody's on board with that, but the not a lot of wiggle room on this kind of policy decision locally, as much as we would desire to do that.
Yeah. There aren't any holding out rogue councils anywhere.
No, there are a lot of holdout rogue organizations. Yeah. Just locally, when this decision was made, 30 of our community partners decided to kick their scout unit out. So we had to find new homes for them. Our organization basis is it's truly collaboration. We don't own a Boy Scout troop. They're owned by the Ashworth Road Baptist Church or the Rotary Club or what have you. And very locally, very grassroots-based organizational method. So we had to find new homes for those scout units, and we did for 29 of the 30. One of them we lost altogether. We lost a lot of leaders. We lost some families. We lost some funding. A organization was created that is nationwide now. There's a group called Trail Life, and these were all scout folks that said, we're not going to do this. We're going to take our tents and go over and do something different. And good luck to you. Good luck to you. Because, since the very beginning of scouting, we've accepted every religion, every nationality. Where we were hung up or where society was hung up on these kinds of issues, you know, we can talk ad infinitum about it. And I certainly can't talk to the perspective that you have. And I understand that. We're not a Christian organization. We are a religious organization, I should say that. We still say God and country, but we don't define for families who or what God is. We've always been that way. So now we're even more completely that way. And boy, is it better. Is it better? So maybe a long, rambling answer to your question. I'm sorry.
Well, I can't imagine that the Trail Finders, is that what they're called?
Trail Life is what it's called.
Trail Life. I can't imagine they have very nice looking uniforms, but.
Well. Now, aren't you glad I didn't come in short pants today? I thought I'd scare these guys to death. There was a hand over. Yes, sir.
Cub Scout leaders, are they still allowed to be?
Oh, sure. Leaders? Sure. Okay. Yeah, and you know, like I say, we're not naive. We've had gay leaders forever. Mm-hmm. They just chose to be in silent about that. We've got scouts who have same-sex parents. They are welcome. Yes, sir.
Does the organization provide any diversity training for those?
We do. And late to the mark. But that's the thing. In almost every other area, we have been very consciously diverse and have celebrated that. And so why this sticking point, I can't really describe to you. And I don't want to make the cop out with society, but I don't. Sometimes it felt like we were swimming upstream to get these things changed. But yes, it's done as in all things with scouting with the kids anyway. While they're having fun, we sneak up on them and talk about values. And so these things are woven into the program delivery, and for our leadership training for the adults, it's very upfront that you know that all are welcome. Yeah. Jonathan,
The Scout Oath says, "On my honor, I will do my best for a number of things," and it concludes, "to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight."
Yep.
With the changes that have taken place in our society and our language, that may be something of a problem, just as surely as if it said, "and be as white as I can be."
The meanings and the connotations for words change, don't they? No, yeah. Yeah, I understand. You know, when that was...
Normally forward?
Well...
As a child, they're not standing there and saying, oh my gosh, it says straight. So I need to think that I am not homosexual. And if you think they're putting that on kids, I would differ so much on that point with you.
See, we are not of one mind, necessarily.
Let me back up. In 1910, when that was written, that wasn't the connotation of the word. Now, things have changed. When I was a Cub Scout, maybe when some of you guys were Cub Scouts, the Cub Scout promise said to be square. Now, we know what that means. That means to be foundationally correct. The Masons used their square. But the connotation for that word, particularly when involved with youth, changed, and so that changed. Jonathan, it may occur. I don't know of any effort to say that because, you know, that when you are being straight, doesn't have to have a sexual connotation. Now, another interesting example that's probably not very well known, the highest award that I can give out to a local volunteer is called the Silver Beaver. We like our animals in scouting. We were giving the Silver Beaver Award to ladies.
Words change.
So somewhere along the line that, you know, people became sensitive about that and that award was changed for ladies. I had to choose another animal. To the Silver Fawn. It is now changed back. And it's like, people, get over yourselves. Okay? Get over yourselves. Get up here. And so now, men, women, everybody else, it's the Silver Beaver Award. And that animal was chosen for its industriousness. I mean, that's all that old Boy Scout stuff, you know. But the point's well made. And I'm not saying that it won't change. I really don't.
So Vixen wasn't available?
I wasn't on that committee. So. Tough crowd, wow. Yes, sir.
Okay, you mentioned how the three R's had changed and the second one was resist. How does that go with obedience?
Well, when you are being groomed to be sexually abused, and that's why we now train young boys about this, it's recognize what's happening to you. Resist what that perpetrator is doing to you, and then report them. So, no, we don't want children to be considered to be obedient when Uncle Joe is grooming them for sexual abuse. Yeah, I guess that's a really good point. That in that regard, we do not want you to be obedient of that sexual predator. I don't mean to be flippant about that at all. The hardest thing that I ever have to do is talk to the parents of children who have been abused. Most of the time it happens outside of scouting, but it happens in our program as well. Don't kid ourselves about these things. But this is a part of our society today. It's not a good, very good part. And we are very focused on this whole effort of what we call youth protection to adults at all times present. You know, there's a whole protocol to protect children so nothing ever occurs to them, because we can't undo that. If somebody hurts a child in this way, mental abuse, physical abuse, we can't undo it from them. So all of our focus is on putting enough protocols in place to keep these things from happening. Jonathan.
Background checks are done for scout leaders.
Everybody who registers for the Boy Scouts of America, including me, has to go through a national background check. And we use one of the national approved services to do that. So it compares my name and my age and my social security number. You have to give us your social security number to be a registered member of the Boy Scouts. Because that's just I know the government said it would never be an identifier of us, but it is. And so that searches all. Now, the problem with that, Jonathan, is that all that does is tell us what you've done. It doesn't protect against the person who hasn't been caught. You know, so that's why all the protocols are in place. That's just the beginning point. Because people, you know, say like, well, didn't you do a background check? Sure. Doesn't mean that that's going to keep them from doing something. Yes, sir.
During the controversy over completely engaged in the Scouts, my church went through quite a crisis itself because there were scouting programs, and we are very accepting of gay and lesbian people. So the crisis was kind of in the other direction,
right,
for inclusivity. And right now, we are able to keep the Boy Scout program going at our church, and also there's Girl Scouts involved, and it's on. They are all meeting in the church at the same time as the Des Moines Gay Men's Chorus.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we've got all those groups coming together, working together, and surviving together. And I think that's all up to you. Thank you for your willingness to step forward.
It's up to everybody, and you're at Plymouth, I'm going to guess.
Right.
So Troop 50, one of our oldest troops in the council. And it's a fine organization. And that's one example of that occurring in other places. So it's just all of those things that good people try to help and accommodate and move forward and make change happen. And like I say, I certainly can't bring that to your attention. You guys live that. Jonathan?
In the February 1st article in the Des Moines Register that announced that trans individuals mm-hmm. participate in scouting, which is what prompted me to identify you and invite you to come and speak to us, it indicated that churches were going to be exempt from having to participate. And I'm curious to know how you have then dealt with that when you have a church that says, we've got this troop here, and we're not going to go along with your policy. Do you then try to relocate the troop, or do you try to speak reason to the powers that be in the church to make an exception to the law? How do you deal with that?
We try to speak reason, and most of the time it's a concern, a very little concern when it's, you know, talked about. As I said earlier, we've had to relocate 29 units, or with 30 had to go, 29 of them were relocated because that organization just wasn't going to go there. And I can tell you many meetings with pastors of churches and deacon boards and saying, well, if one of your members came out, would you kick them out of your church? Well, no, Bob. Hell, okay, now help me understand then, you know, well, we just have to draw the line somewhere. So, you know, I don't get it, but on the other hand, at least in our country, we're going to give space to religious organizations to express themselves, as is guaranteed, and we're going to honor that as well. So, you know, often, Jonathan, I felt like I've been very much in the middle between all of these things, and that's where I've come down, and I tried to be very specific on this morning. I'm for kids. The first name of our organization is not man. It's not woman. It's boy. We're a kids organization. And we're unprepared to speak about these things in many ways. It's not what we're trained to do. It's not what we focus on. Hopefully we keep a vibrant program that will still do great things for kids going forward. And I know we can. Yes, sir?
Scouting is an international organization. Now, in other international organizations, such as the Anglican Church, the issue of gay, straight, various lives has caused quite a bit of controversy, right, even schisms. How has this been affecting the Boy Scouts internationally, not just within the United States?
Well, I don't know a lot of specifics, but I can tell you, and probably no surprise to us here, that, you know, America is lagging behind a lot of these things. In most scouting organizations worldwide, and there's over 160 countries that have a scout organization, this is a zero issue, and in most of those organizations are also co-ed. And so we're behind the curve on that one too. So,
question:
right.
Well, I don't want to overstay my welcome, but I do want to say thank you. I very much appreciate this time together, and what a great, great morning it's been to be with you today.
Bob, I thank you very much for being here. It's a tradition to give a token of appreciation to our speakers, and I have for you a recording of the Des Moines Gay Men's Chorus that I hope that you will enjoy. Thank you very much.
Thank you again.
Bob, you really hit the ball out of the park, if I wanted to just share my own candid assessment, and made me look really good for having invited you. And it is all about me, after all. By a show of hands, how many in this room have been in the scouting program? So, scouting has involved gay people, as you say, for a long, long time. And finally, policy has caught up with some sense of reality. It only took...
I can say we have a really nice alumni association.
And it only took 60 years in my case for that. But slow progress is still progress. And we have made great progress and more rapid progress in the recent past. When the controversy over gays in the Boy Scouts became so nationally noted, I stopped giving to the Boy Scouts. I wrote to the person who held your office at the time and started giving to the Girl Scouts because they were ahead of that curve just a little bit. I'm going to turn my attention back to the Boy Scouts again. You have a great organization. And
Girl Scouts need your help too.
Oh, yes. Yes. But it is all about kids, and you're doing great work, and we really appreciate it. Thank you very much. All right. I'm going to be made to look really good again. In June, on the 2nd, our speaker is going to be Reverend Anna Bladel. She is a United Methodist minister, and she is an out lesbian, and she handles the student program for the church in Iowa City on the campus there. And she came out as a practicing lesbian, which is, according to the Methodist discipline, incompatible with Christianity. And she was brought up on charges, and the United Methodist minister, black bishop here in Iowa, on the last day of his tenure here in Iowa before leaving Iowa for another appointment, dismissed the charges and said they were not worthy of going forward or for having further consideration. And he, I think, is in Ohio or Indiana at this point. He was a speaker for our Breakfast Club a few years ago, as a matter of fact, which maybe we influenced him some to be a bit more enlightened. He certainly showed that, and courage, because now he has been brought up on charges. So it continues, but education happens at every one of those junctures, and that is a good thing. So June the 2nd, she is going to be an exciting, interesting speaker, and she demonstrates the kind of bravery that we recognize in the scholars that we award, scholarships that we award. And on June the 2nd, all of our scholarship recipients for the year are going to be here with their families. Now, there's a lot of speaking in superlatives going on without actually delivering on what is promised. But I can promise you, this is going to be a spectacular, wonderful, incredible, almost unbelievable experience when we have all these young people here with their families. My favorite was the time that we were being protested by Fred Phelps. And they were outside, and we were in here with all these students and their families in a warm, supportive environment. And God made it rain. So we have that to look forward to on June the 2nd. On July the 7th, we're going to have Dr. Lauren Olson, He's a psychiatrist. He is openly gay. He has written a book recently that he is going to be touting when he is here. I'm going to talk to him a little bit. He'll stay afterwards for some individual work. But he's going to be here on July the 7th. On August the 4th, we're going to have Ryan Berg, the author of No House to Call My Home. And it is the saga of homeless gay, lesbian, and bisexual youth and their plight and what is being done about it and his recommendations there. Then in September, National Food Month, Michelle Book is going to be here. She is the CEO of the Food Pantry of Iowa. So you have all of those things to look forward to and more, because I have speakers lined up clear through January at this point. So you have much to anticipate, and we enjoy having you here, and we look forward to seeing you again on June the 2nd. Thank you.